Okay, so will anybody want to remind us of the discussion where we stopped last time? Anybody want to give us a recap? Just a quick recap from, okay, let me just help us a little bit. We study 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 4. So from there, what were the discussion that we had?
It's about we know Samuel that Samuel mother brought her to Eli to serve under Eli. So it happened that one day Eli was lying where he normally laid during the night. So he I don't know whether it's night or day. Let's say assume it's night. So it happened that God was calling Eli, called him several times. But each time God called him, he went to Eli and asked, "Are you the one calling me?" Eli would say no, then he would go back. So it happened about two, three times. So Eli now told him that, "Okay, when you hear the voice of the Lord, I mean that voice again, just say, speak on, Lord, for your servant is hearing." So yeah, that's what Eli, I mean, Samuel did when God called again. And by this, God told Samuel that the behavior of Eli's children, that like God did not like the way the children were behaving because everybody they complained about them and their character, everything about them was so bad. And God was telling Samuel that he's going to punish them. And we ironed it out that these children, that they were, we can call them stubborn children, that's why that their father talked to them that, look, what you are doing was not good, but the children they keep on doing the same thing, and God is now about to punish them. And so Samuel related this message to Eli, that this is what God told him. So Eli told Samuel that, he's God, let him do whatever pleases him. So then in that respect we said Eli is supposed not to say that. He's supposed to, tell God or plead on behalf of his children to God. But the way he said, let him do whatever he wants, we think it's not a good thing at all as a parent. As a parent, that whenever our children are misbehaving, we should not talk to them alone, but punish them. That's what Samuel is supposed to do, to punish the children so that they will know that what they are doing. Or if you don't want to punish them, you can suspend them from that work they were doing. Take them out of that work, don't let them do it again. So I remember that at the end, we just said that we as a parent, we have lots to do in the life of our children. And I think that's the little
Thank you very much. You've actually more or less like given us the end-to-end kind of discussion of the last lesson, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 4. One little thing I want to add to it is that based on all that happened and the lapses from this man called Eli, he was doing very well. And I remember our teacher did mention to us that some of these men of God, they have a lot of attention for people outside, but the question is, where was his wife? And that Eli could have probably cried to God and committed the children into the hands of God that, look, these children, God, you know, you're giving them to me. Help me, you know, minister to their heart and for their heart to be changed and all those stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, Samuel had the inaudible. And my prayer is that every one of us will keep on hearing the inaudible, you know, the wonderful word of God. And we also look at the fact that based on the blasphemy of Eli's children, you know, there are a lot of things that happen. You know, one, those children, they died untimely, because there are a lot of reports that have been coming to God concerning these children. And Eli too did not take action, as it had been said. So Eli died, his children died, and because of these atrocities, enemy invaded Israel, and the ark of the Lord was actually taken away. So those were taken in the latter part of chapter 4. The ark of ark of covenant was taken away. The whole nation of Israel was completely shattered and disarrayed. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the glory left them in the land of Israel. So that's where we want to continue from today. We'll be looking at, by the special grace of God, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 5. If God help us, we'll try to. I mean, like I said, we've already asked us to read through this. Let us, I want to just bring out some of the facts and some of the lessons that we can pick from this. So, may the Lord bless us and give us deeper understanding of his word in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Starting from 1 Samuel chapter 5, I tag that as when God's property is stolen, whoever steals that God's property, we have no peace. Anyone that steals that which God has given unto you, they may be happy, they may be merry wherever they go, but they will have no peace. And this is exactly what happened. The Philistines, they came. They invaded the land of Israel. They shattered the whole land. And at the end of it, they now felt this is the power that these people are using. This is the strength. Remember, these people knew. They knew about what God did in the case of Pharaoh. They knew how this God stood by the Israelites. So they now felt, you know, there are little they knew about the power of God. There are little they knew about the Ark of Covenant. So the Philistine thought stealing the Ark of Covenant is the ultimate for them. But that turned out to be a disaster. In fact, that Ark of Covenant became weapon of mass destruction for them, because the presence of God made all gods in their own territory to fall down. And those that couldn't fall down, they were destroyed completely. And you saw what happened to when they kept the Ark of Covenant in the house where they are keeping Dagon. You know, if you remember that story. You know, they kept it there. Before they came back in the following morning, Dagon was falling down. And at the end of the day, you know, Dagon began to fall apart. So as a matter of fact, the Philistines had no peace. They didn't have any peace at all because of Ark of Covenant, which they stole. And at the end of the day, it doesn't belong to them. So they now decided within themselves that, look, this thing doesn't belong to us. And before I even jump into that, we see that sometimes God can use enemy of God, God's enemy, because you know what? You are children of God. You are belonging to God. Whoever is your enemy is God's enemy. Whoever is contending with you is contending with God. But you see, the funniest thing about it is that God can use those that are contending with you to get your attention. And that's it. We will be seeing deeper into this. So some of these things, God used the enemy of Israel to inflict pain upon the children of Israel because of their disobedience, because of so many things that they have done. And some of the reason why God is doing it is that when you read, if you read deeper, the whole book of Hosea, you see that God loved Israel. But at the same time, as God is saying, go away, he's also drawing them nearer. He's seeking their attention. So if you are in any hard situation today, you just need to realize that God is using that situation to draw you nearer to himself. So you don't need to do anything. All you need to do is that you just need to keep on drawing more closer to God in that painful situation. It is a time of reflection. It is a time, that painful situation. Like I spoke to somebody yesterday. I said, you know, when we look at a painful situation, that is where our potential lies. God is saying there is something hidden inside this. I like the book of Job a lot. When we look at the book of Job, you see, Job was a devoted worshiper. He was a committed child of God. And God tested him. And he used Satan to test him. But Bible recorded that in all, Job was upright. And the Bible said the latter part of Job. You know, it could have been the other way around. Despite what Job went through, it could have been the other way around, you know, based on what the wife of Job said. Curse God and just let all this painful thing, like what many people would do nowadays, because of our situation, they want to commit suicide. I can't, let me just cut it off. Let me just forget about the whole thing. But that is not our own situation. That is not what is expected of Christian. As Christian, when hard time comes, it is a time to look inward. It is a time to seek the face of God. And at the end of the day, that affliction that we are seeing today is just a temporary thing. As we read further, you know, when we look at chapter 6, chapter 6 is more of a situation whereby those people that stole the ark of God, the ark of covenant, they had no peace within themselves. You know what they did? They started consulting inward. You know, this thing is destroying us, rather than us enjoying this thing. We better find a way of returning it back. The Philistines had no peace because of the Ark of Covenant that was in their camp. I pray this evening, your enemy will have no peace. Those people that after your life, whether in the spirit or in the physical, anywhere, they will have no peace until they return your peace back unto you.
Amen. Amen.
So shall it be. So when they took away what belonged to the children of God, they kept on seeking peace, but they couldn't have peace. They even went to the extent of saying, you know what? It is now high time for us. You know, in fact, when you read that chapter 6, they were now thinking backward of some of the way God fought for this Israelite when they were in Egypt. How God dealt with Pharaoh. How God was able to part the Red Sea for this Israelite. It's more or less like God opened their understanding that, you see, you people are playing with fire. And they now decided, you know, when we are going to return this thing, we will not just return it alone. We are going to return it with guilt offering. That we are guilty. This is our hands up. We surrender. We are returning it with guilt offering. And with that, none of us is going to go with it. You look at the strategy they employ. They put a cow. They put the Ark of Covenant behind, inside a cart. They tied that cart on the cow, and the cow just kept on walking. And when the cow now got to a particular place, those ones were completely ignorant. The Bible said 70 people that went, they said, let us keep this thing in a particular place. They called that place Beth Shemesh. And they said 70 people that tried to talk with the Ark of Covenant, what happened to them? They died. They just opened it. And the question is, what was in this Ark of Covenant? Just the presence of God. God brought, he put affliction. And you see, when they are praying, land will fall for you in pleasant places. It's more or less like saying that God will take your possession for you. Whoever is contending with you, with your possession, God will take them away. It's a prophecy. And that's exactly what we can see here. And I'm saying to us, as we are all listening, and those people that will be listening later on from the website of our internet, I pray God himself will fight your battle for you. Amen. And land will fall for you in pleasant places in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
But we go to chapter 7 on the other side, because I'll quickly run through this, and I'll bring out some of the key point that is in this. So in chapter 7, I tag that as pray for peace. You know, when the Israelites, when they were attacked, when situation, we know, when you look at the book of Judges, it's a very lovely book. You see, when everything is okay, as at that time, there was no king. They only had judges that ruled over Israel. They judged Israel as at that time. Even up to this time, in the book of 1 Samuel, there was no king. But you know, God was the only king as at that time. You know what the Israelites, what they did as at that time? They started praying. They started praying. We have seen something is wrong with us. Our land is not knowing peace again. God, please come to us. God, please come and rescue us. And you see, they kept on praying. They kept on praying. But Bible recorded that they prayed for 20 good years. 20 good years. You know, brethren, if you and I, if we pray for a particular situation, because when Bible says, pray without what?
Season.
Without season. He didn't say pray for a particular time and stop. Whatever you pray, but believe that God is doing it, but keep on praying. It's not that when you keep on praying, it's not to say that, well, you don't believe, but keep on praying with the mind that God is answering up your prayer. God is listening to your prayer. But in our own context, if you say that you pray just for maybe 7 days or thereabout, you have said that, oh, you've not prayed enough. You prayed enough. But these people did not stop after 7 days, after 1 year, after two, until 20 good years. Why did they even stop in that 20 good years? When they started seeing the result of their prayer. God restored peace. And in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, what did the Bible say? He said, he has made everything beautiful in its own time. Also, he has put eternity in their heart, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, God is ever working behind the scene on your behalf. In that situation that you feel, God has left me, Lord has departed, all we need to do, which is why I love what we did last week, praise week. As you praise him, and we are not even stopping, it's just to say this is part, because every day of our life is for praises. And as you praise him, God is ever working wonder behind the scene. The time is coming when the manifestation of his glory will come. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he said, he had made everything, not single thing, not a particular thing, not something. He said, everything beautiful at whose time? In God's own time. And at the time that that thing is supposed to come out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, under the old covenant, the ark of the Lord was placed where God was supremely present. And it was the location of God's glory, according to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 22. We read that the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. And you know, we always say to ourselves that in the presence of God, there is what? A fullness of joy. Because the presence of God is here. Wherever the presence of God is, there is always winning. There is always victory. There is no disease that can reign in that environment. That's why we need to keep praying at all times for God's presence. You may sometimes have to wait a long time for the Lord to act and answer your prayer. Like I said, these people, they pray for 20 years until when somebody said, I'm going to stand in God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, start doing this. And they pray for how many years? 20 good years before their answer came. Praying for a week is indeed a long period in our own context, like I said. But they continue to pray. So the path to deliverance often began when we return to the Lord with all our hearts. When your heart, you realize that I have done what is wrong. I have committed mistake. Remember, God was the one. You see, when we look at the way God works, sometimes we can say God walk from the end backward to the beginning. I don't know if that makes sense to us. Because he knows the end. He knows what the result is going to be. Like I said, our mommies, we know that whenever you want to make food, let's say, for example, you want to prepare rice, you know what you are expecting. You know what the end solution is going to be. You already picture it in your mind. But whoever is beside you doesn't know. You already prepare it within your heart. But by the time you start preparing physically, until when the result comes, but you know what the outcome is going to become. But for whoever is going to take it, they don't know. But when the result comes, you see, yeah, this is exactly what I want it to look. And if it doesn't look like that, you feel, oh no, there's something I need to adjust. That is the way our God works. God already knew that these children, I will put pain on them. I want them to come back to me. I want them to do this. But I want them to pray. I want them to have a relationship with me. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. And when they prayed, they walked their way back into the path of deliverance. And God answered them. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, 3 to 4, the Bible says, if you are truly serious about making come back to God, cleanse house, get rid of the foreign god and fertility goddesses. Ground yourself firmly to God, worship him and him alone, and he will save you from Philistine oppression. They did it. That's what they did. And they got rid of everything that they had. All those idols, all those gods, all those baals, because as at that time, because of what Philistine brought into them, they started worshiping idols. Baal was part of them. They have shrine for Ashtoreth. They gave back to exclusive attention to something that is outside of God. And they were doing something that is contrary to God's will. And the first thing to do is we are seeking God. We need our life to be realigned back to God. And with that, God will now begin to give us attention. After the return to the Lord, there was no need for a period of confession or repentance because you are back to him. You've already done all those things, which was shown by their fasting. That's exactly what they have given back to God. On that day, they fasted and they confessed completely. We have sinned, as we saw in verse 6. We have sinned, we have transgressed, we have fallen apart. Today, whenever we transgress, we will keep on protecting it, we keep on keeping it. But Bible says, whoever have not confessed his sin, what did Bible say? Will not prosper. If we have done anything, even against our fellow friend, our fellow brother or sister, let us go to him with the heart of repentance. And it is exactly what God wants us to do. And after the return to the Lord, there was no need for any period of confession at all. They just went back to him, with their heart and they opened up their mind and they prayed. And so, finally, it was Samuel that now stood in. Remember the Samuel that started from chapter 3? That was the beginning of his own mission. When he started hearing the inaudible, Samuel now stood in, he interceded. After his intercession, he prayed persistent prayer. He led them for 20 good years. Samuel interceded on behalf of the Israelites. Today, we need intercession. In our community, we need intercession. In our church, in our home, anywhere, we need intercession. We need people to stand in gap. We need people that is going to draw us back to God. Whether we like it or not, we have all sinned in this generation. We have sinned, and God is indeed not happy with us. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 8, he said, pray with all your might and don't let up. Pray to God, our God, that he will save us from the boot of the Philistine. That was exactly what Samuel told them. Samuel cried out to the Lord of Israel on behalf of the Israelites. And the Lord of heaven answered their prayer. And, you know, based on all those things, he also offers sacrifices. You know, nowadays, we talked about sacrifices in Old Testament. But there is one big thing that God has already shown at us. In the Old Testament, they recognized it was an amazing answer to them. And what did they do in verse 12? They said, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name Ebenezer, saying, this is thus far the Lord has helped us. So at that point, Samuel offered sacrifice and God restored the lost glory to them. They were delivered from the power of Philistine and there was peace in their land. Following this, Samuel stood in gap and they gave offering. You know what? During the time that man fell, when Jesus Christ came, John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son. Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb. He was the one and only offering that today, if you only believe in him, Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Savior, that is the sacrifice that God is expecting you to say, bury yourself in him. With that one, according to what is written in John 3, he said, whoever believes in him will not perish or have everlasting life. I pray we will have everlasting life in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
When you look at this whole thing bundled together, you could see that God brought affliction into, because God could have saved them from Philistine, isn't it? But God just said, okay, fine. You guys believe you can do whatever you like. Carry on. Your enemy will take your possession. And the enemy took their possession. They wiped away their land. They brought in their own religion into their life. And at the end of the day, God just said, okay, fine. Keep on with it. Let's see how far you can go. And then they realized their mistake. Somebody stood in gap for them. And then they came back to God. May the Lord bless us and keep us in his presence in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
That's about, a run through from 5 to 7 in 1 Samuel that we are reading through. So now, I don't know if, from what we've read so far, you want to add one comment or the other, ask questions. So the floor is open. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the part I just want to add to it is, what amazes me most is when people are trying to test the power of God, when they put the hack of God beside Dagon. And we know what happened to Dagon in the process. Initially, he felt that they thought, oh, maybe somebody made a mistake. But the second time, what happened? He fell down, head cut off, the hands off. And that tells us that nothing can withstand the power of God. And because the Bible has told us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So as long as we have God in our life and we have his presence in our life, no matter what we're going through, no matter the challenges, let us always be reminded that because God is with us, we have victory already. We may not see it at that moment, may not experience it at that moment. The pressure or the situation may still be there. It's just like David and Goliath. You may still be looking at the Goliath or still be looking at the Red Sea. But one thing is certain, God has got your back. God has got the situation in his hands. No amount of power, name it, that can stand the presence of God, they will always fall down. So let us always have that at the back of our mind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Mm. Mm. So yeah, I don't know if anybody have anything to add to what that 1 Samuel chapter 5 to 7. Or if there's any questions.
Yeah, in addition to what Mommy just said, we could see that the dragon fell in front of the ark of the Lord. I think the children of the Philistine, they're supposed to say, oh, wait a minute, this God that we said we are serving is falling down several times. We have to go and glue it before we bring it back again. So which God is this one? They're supposed to think, sit down and think that which type of God are we serving? That means is the God that is not, which doesn't have, which is just, could I put it? So it's not good, it's not God that they are serving. So they have to think. And, come back to that real God, that truly this God that belongs to the Israelite is a good God, is the real God. That's what they're supposed to, but they don't think. So as a Christian, whatever we think that we are, serving and it's not giving, it's not yielding us good results, we're supposed to leave it and come back to that normal God. That's...
Yeah, you see, I like that that comment, but sometimes it takes a while for one to realize that I think I'm making a mistake somewhere, or I think this thing that I'm doing is not the right thing to do.
Sorry to cut in. I think they are it's because they have been blindfolded by the devil.
Exactly.
So they can't see.
Exactly. You see, when you look at, I think in Roman 1, 27 to 29, he said, and likewise all men, okay, let me read it. And likewise also the men living the natural use of women, buried in their lost one towards one another, men with men, blah, blah, blah. He now went further. And he went further to say, in 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitted. So because they do not even believe, even though they had, they've been hearing about wonders God, this God has done, but they do not have the understanding of who God or what God can do. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Their mind have been blinded completely. So that's why they couldn't really get it. But later on, they got it. But the question is, did they turn to God?
They didn't go there. They got
it. They didn't turn to God because the devil has already stolen their mind. So I don't know if any of the younger ones, you have something to add to what we've discussed? Okay, if there is nothing, Pastor Chidi, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anything to add?
I think mom is raising up her hand.
Yeah, mom is raising her hand. Yeah, my friend is raising her hand.
Okay. Mommy Apple, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, what I want to add again is when the hack, you know, they send the hack, they were trying to send it back to Israel. I mean, yeah. And when the hack of covenant got to, what's the name of this town? Is it Ekron? Ekron.
Ekron, yeah.
They rejected it. They don't want it at all. They don't want that because they thought when they stay with them, they will be in trouble. They will be, they reject it. So likewise, we that does not, you know, like people that does not accept Christ, when people come to you, they speak to you about the word of God, instead of you to take it and meditate on it and repent and become born again, what we do is that we reject it. We just say, no, that type of church, no. I don't want that. So that's exactly what I want to add, that we don't need to reject the word of God. We should take it, meditate on it, then by that, the Lord in himself will change our life.
Amen, amen. That was a very good one. Thank you, man. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add to what mommy said. It's for them to reject is because, like she has said, they don't, you know, when somebody is doing something in darkness, when you are doing something that is evil, you don't want it to be open to everybody to see. You don't want the light to shine on you because they will see the evil that you're doing. And I guess that was one of the reasons why those people rejected, because you know, because their life is not clean, they know that if the presence of God should come, they believe that it's going to strike them or it's going to expose them, and they don't want all those things. So I guess that's why a lot of people, like what mommy has said, people that does not want to accept Christ, or that when they are talking to, they feel that, no, I don't want to hear, or they don't want to understand, is because they knew quite well, some of them knew, that what they're doing is not right. But they know that the moment they accept Christ into their life, they will not be able to satisfy the fleshy parts that they've been satisfying. They will not be able to do that. They will not be able to do what those things that they really desire to do from their own mind. Now they have to consider the word of God. They have to consider the ways of God. They have to consider the laws of God before they do anything. And they don't want to go through that part. So that's why they don't even want to listen to you, or they don't even want to accept it, because they know that if they listen to you and they accept it, they have to drop some things in their life and they're not ready to. So I guess that's why a lot of people find it so hard. And it's not in our power, to be honest, because the Bible said in the book of John that the wind blows where it's coming from, we don't know where it's going to, we don't know. So it all depends on the Holy Spirit. But the only thing we can only do is, for such people, when we speak to them, when they reject it, let us just pray for them, that God will take over their mind, and one day they will give their life to Christ as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for that great contribution. Pastor Chidi, you want to say something?
Yeah, just so you know, God had a wonderful sense of humor. Remember, God gives you a small crocodile, you know? You know, do you see the boil and everything that sprang out in their city, even their priest? They all have boils, you know? That was why the people of Akron didn't want to accept that, because they knew Krokro was coming, you know? So it wasn't that, you know, they had what happened to the Philistines when they would rather not have him in the ark near their house, because, you know, he doesn't belong to them. They can't handle it. It's not their God, you know? They don't have what it takes to handle him. So they would rather not want him around there. But the truth is this, you and I are privileged to have this God. Look at what's happening, even as old as then. God distanced himself from every other God. You know, they had their own God in an image that cannot move. And remember what happened? When they gave it, first God, you know, dismembered the hand of the Dagon. The next day they came, Dagon was lying flat, you know, bowed down to the earth. God is a good God. He's a loving God, you know. And in all this, you see, God could have tried to wipe them out, but no, he didn't, you know. I think we are privileged to have this God. This is the God we serve, the true God. Are we not blessed to have him as our God? May God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, Mommy Alpha.
My question.
Yes.
You know, when the Ark of Covenant got to, what's the name?
Bet-Shemesh.
You know, the people that were there, they look at it and they were died. I remember that when, what's the name of this man that prevented the Ark of God from falling?
Yeah, Uzziah.
You know, we said nobody can. This one, they look into it. They look inside it and they died. I don't know. God walking in a serious way, but.
Yeah. You see, when you look at that part, I tell you, everything that we read, everything that, you know, was documented in this great book, this scripture, is there for a purpose.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one could be asking, what is their offense?
Yeah, that's.
But the question is, it's just like the question that the disciple asked Jesus of a man that was born without eyes. It's not that he was blind, no eyes, no trace there at all. And they were asking, is it his father or mother that, you know, committed sin to have given birth to this kind of a child? But what was the answer Jesus Christ gave? He said, it's for the name of God to be glorified.
Yeah.
When things like, okay, look at this Philistine. For they to have decided to release this ark. Why? If you read it deeper, they talked back of what God has done to Egyptian. But these people on Beth Shemesh, they were completely ignorant of what they were even toying with. And God said, okay, fine. I'm on the home we left for. And then he said 70 of them died. Because they were playing with fire. And that's why people say God is a consuming fire. He can play with us. But he's a consuming fire. He's not somebody that we can say, oh, let me go and be joking with God. When people say, do not blaspheme Holy Spirit. You can do every other thing, but don't blaspheme Holy Spirit because that sin is never forgivable. What does Bible mean by that? So I believe it was documented there for us to know that God is great, is too powerful to be played with in that kind of manner. You cannot just be saying you are committing sin and then you are saying you are playing with God.
Or could it be that they just look at, does it mean that have they taken something from the ark? Because the ark of covenant, they said God the rod of Moses, he got the covenant books, he got, you know, lot. Probably they were thinking in their mind that everything in the ark, is it complete? Is that the reason why they look into it? So God is telling them that, what do you think I am? Do you think I can be toying with you.
You know, back, I'm coming, man. Back in the days, there are particular places you don't go at all. It's only for priests.
Yeah.
If you ever, even if the part of your crew touch that area, you are dead.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you know, in our churches, when you go to a pulpit, people will be eating on the pulpit. You will drink on the pulpit. Back in the days, there's nothing like that.
God has gone.
I mean, you don't joke with it. But nowadays, I think grace of Jesus has eroded everything. Amen. Yes, carry on.
Praise the Lord. For me, I believe that, you know, God is God anytime.
Yes.
If you are trying to toy with his presence, he gets angry. Because when you look at even the user that we talk about that was trying to hold the Ark of Covenant when he wanted to fall down, that he stopped it, which is the reason why he died. God is able to protect himself and to do whatever he wants. So I just believe that where the presence of God is, the moment they said, I remember, at some point in my life, I remember one pastor that said, when children are playing around the altar, he doesn't like it. Why? Because we call it the altar of God. Anything can happen. So it's like, to me, I believe, I feel that God felt they were toying with him, seeing him as something that they can play with. But God is not something that we can play with, especially his presence. Look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira as well. They thought they can play with the Holy Spirit. So it's something that we have to be very careful. The fact that God is merciful, his mercies endure forever, but it can strike. It is also a consuming fire. It can strike anytime. We should not toy with the presence of God. And that is why we have to be very careful. There's no ignorance in what we are talking about. What you don't know, is better for you to stay back than to feel like, oh, I can do this. No, what you don't know, don't even touch it at all. Rather than bring it and not get yourself into trouble. I remember sometimes back when we were on church and they wanted to do Holy Communion. And the pastor said, oh, can you please take this Holy Communion down? I told her straight away, I said, sorry, ma, I can't carry it. I'm not ordained and I don't want to get strike, because if anything happened, I'm the one that will get the blame. You will, at least after maybe that person has gone, you cannot start deliberating or debating, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Even though it's something that is so simple. But these are the kind of things that we have to be very careful about. When something is the presence of God, we don't talk about it. We have to carry it as if, you know, it's something that is so powerful that we can't afford to toy with. So I guess they were, by trying to do that, to them, they don't know, to be honest. But to God, they are trying to toy with him. That's the way I think he sees it. So maybe that was why. That's just my own opinion, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor.
I think the whole idea, you see, at this time, these other people, they probably, you know, don't understand because they had idols that they worship, okay? And you see, God is trying to establish the fact that he is the Almighty God. First of all, and you know, he must be treated with the fear, the reverence, and the awe that he deserves. He's not like another God. So when you hear this is the God of Israel, that's so that you will know there's a difference between the God of Israel and the God of another land. And you see, God keeps saying, I am God, I am God, I am God. These are things that he did to know that no human being should treat him with, you know, laxity. You know, God must be treated with the awe, the reverence, the fear that he deserves. And oftentimes, this is the only way to celebrate the fact. You see, these are people, they have gods that they fear. And oftentimes, like the civil decided that when they carried this Ark of Covenant, they probably thought it was one of the supreme gods they have. They got them, you know. And God had to say, listen, I'm not, and you, but also look at, in all this, that is also that God, like I said, God could have worked, had the power to wipe everybody out in the end of this. But no, he wants to be known for who he is, the only true God. And he shouldn't be clear with legacy. It doesn't matter who you think you are. God must be God at all times. Like Dickene was saying, you know, there was something I'm taking too much time. That was this scene we had about bringing people to come and play, you know, people who are comedians come and do comedy in the church. So we thought it was okay. That man, that guy said, listen, that this is nonsense. He said that, do we understand what I was saying? That the things of God is not funny. That's not, where did this find out in the Bible? God's business is a serious business. The work of salvation is serious. That God should not be toyed with. We shouldn't take his mercy or grace for granted at all times. And that is what I'm saying, the point I'm making. God must be treated with the awe and the reverence. Once the fear of God is gone, human beings are doomed to fail at all times.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, it's a fact. You don't, when we say somebody is holy, is pure, Do not let us put any form of blemish around our God. Let us reverend him. Let us honor him. After all, how many of us we say, okay, this is my bed, where I lay my head, and you will permit a stranger to be jumping on top of such bed? How many of us can permit that? So on that note, from what we've seen and what we've studied this evening, I want us to think deeper about our journey in life. God wants us at all times. He wants us to give him all our attention. He needs us to worship him. And for me, this is exactly the lesson I want us to take from this chapter 5 to 7 tonight. Because when they transgressed, when they began to yield themselves to foreign gods, when they began to do things that are not right, and their leader then couldn't stand in to say, listen, this thing you are doing is not right. Not only the leader that suffered, but all the followers. You know, some of us, we are fond of, well, it's not my problem, their own problem. I will say we have been watching them. When the problem comes, like one wise say that say, when if our acquaintance or our neighbor is eating a bad thing, if we do not check the fellow, by the time trouble comes, you will partake in it. And that's exactly what happened. Because these people at Beth Shemesh, they were not supposed to partake in this problem because they did not even know. But you see, not only the Philistines have suffered this thing, but every other city around them, they partook in it. Even the people that stole it, they just put animal. What did they do to the animal? They said the animal, the bull. They killed the bull. They killed the bull. When the bull now, arrived the final destination, they used that one as a sacrifice. So let us learn to call on God at all time. If you don't call him when he wants you, he will bring pain so that you will call him. May we not call God by force. May God give us the heart to call him when things are even okay for us. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Can we just bow our head as we pray? Because our time has been fast by now. I just want us to tell God tonight and say, Father, please, do not humble me. Help me to humble myself before you. Father, please, do not humble me. Help me to humble myself before you, O Lord. Help me to humble myself wholeheartedly before you in the name of Jesus.